Chapter 21. The weather might be chilly, but the sun sat high in a sky otherwise unmarred by clouds. It was a pleasant wintry day for a base invasion against a mysterious enemy, who might or might not be from Earth or Orisaran. It's not crazy to think they might be aliens. It can't be impossible for an alien to develop magic, right? They have all kinds of cutting-edge science. Maybe they've done genetic experiments with magical DNA. Then again, I've based this theory heavily off Hannah making one particular comparison. There are thousands of intelligent species on Orisaran, and I don't know probably 1/10 of them. Dad has dealt with Orisarans pretending to be something else more than a few times in his bounty hunting career. Or are these guys merely weird humans doing magical experiments on themselves? Allison sighed at the many possibilities. Where did Omni fit in? If it was only about killing him, it would make more sense for them to approach the government directly and convince them to either send an official team or place a bounty on him. Her father had earned more than a few dollars killing magical creatures at the height of his career. No. The initial evidence suggested they wanted to capture him, not kill him, which undermined the idea they were concerned with saving people in favor of something else. Power? Control? Revenge? Who the hell knows? Maybe I can get them to admit something before we have to kill them. She glanced into the back seat of the SUV. Hannah's skin already glowed red from her artifact ring. Her Tachi sword belt lay at her feet. Omni sat beside her in dog form and panted, his tail wagging, excited for their outing. This time, they were armed, ready, and knew exactly who they were facing. Tahir's lead directed them to a warehouse in the docks. Cameras near the building constantly failed whenever he aimed them at it, and he'd already lost connection twice with the drone he guided over it when he flew too close, only to regain control after it moved a few hundred feet away. The SUV was about 5 minutes away. Whatever tricks their enemies could play with cameras and drones didn't extend to people looking at them. Perhaps that's why they tried to look so similar. She would have a hard time identifying the man who spoke to her out of a lineup of unassuming brown-haired men. The infomancer kept his drone circling the area and outside the interference zone, but he depended on her to contact him if she thought they needed additional help. Everyone expected to lose contact once they were closer to the warehouse, and they weren't sure if smoke, explosions, or the like would be visible outside the area. She frowned and glanced at Mason, who was driving.
"I just thought of something."
"What?"
he asked, still focused on the road ahead of him.
"The fact that both Omni and these guys have anti-tracking abilities suggests there has to be some kind of link. Maybe they're similar species, assuming they're not actually human."
"It's possible,"
he replied.
"I'd say get a sample and test it, but after what you saw at the park, that doesn't seem like a good plan."
"We could simply blow the whole bloody thing up," Dreyse suggested with a shrug. "We stand off in the distance, charge up a big spell, and boom. If they're inside that building, we simply have to bring the whole thing down."
Although the Welsh witch had integrated into the team well, every once in a while she offered a suggestion that reminded her boss that her previous employers were far more ruthless. It wasn't as if Allison could complain too much. Bringing an entire building down had been a featured part of several of her father's plans. She shook her head.
"We can't take the chance of collateral damage, and I'm still willing to give them a chance. If they agree to leave us alone, maybe this doesn't have to be a bloodbath. And talking is the best way to get at least some information from them. They might not be the only ones. We shouldn't have to watch our backs for years."
Hannah snorted. "I don't care about giving them another chance. I owe these assholes." She scratched behind Omni's ears, her features set in a scowl. Allison understood the sentiment. In truth, she was far more interested in learning about potential future threats than giving the men a pass. But she also understood that at least some focus on personal restraint was for the best. Dreyse nodded at the dog.
"And do you really think bringing him is a good idea? It's bringing the hen right to the fox."
"I don't want to go back and find out Brownstone security was attacked," Allison responded. "This way, we don't have to worry, and it's a warehouse. I'm sure he can find somewhere to hide and change into his angry Omni mode."
"They likely know you're coming,"
Tahir warned through their receivers.
"Even if they haven't tried to shoot my drone out of the air, I did make two passes directly through their field, whatever it is. I could set up a distraction to help."
"No distractions," she replied.
I'm tired of sneaking around. Sometimes you simply want to get shit done in a simple way. We'll go up there and knock and make some demands. They can either listen or they can get blasted through a wall. Mason opened his mouth but shut it when she glared at him.
Yeah, I know. I sound like Dad. Get over it.
He grinned.
It's not a bad thing. Remember, we're friends now.
Mason steered the SUV toward the side of the warehouse. To their surprise, the building wasn't run down and the power wasn't off. It looked like any other warehouse on the docks, except for a conspicuous lack of workers in the area. Safety-hatted dock employees in bright orange vests dotted the docks in every direction, along with men and women in other uniforms, but none were closer than 100 yards to the location. The team had lost contact with Tahir about 30 seconds before, and Allison had been surprised by the relatively low levels of magic she felt. That kind of extended ward would normally give off a strong magical signature. It again made her question who they would actually face. Low-level repulsion ward? Only enough to keep them hidden without being too noticeable, maybe? There's still so much we don't understand about what's going on and who we're dealing with. That's one big reason right there not to blow the building up. And I don't think the cops and PDA would appreciate it if I start resolving all my problems with high levels of massive property destruction, even though half the time they act like I'm already doing that. Don't they get it? I'm the neutron bomb of brownstones. I eliminate the people and leave the building intact. The SUV rolled to a stop, and Mason put on the parking brake as surprise inched onto his face.
They haven't tried to blow us up yet, he commented. That's promising.
He retrieved his wand from his jacket holster to cast his shield and enhancement spells.
But I doubt this will end with us agreeing to disagree and go on our merry way, eh?
I do too. But who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky.
She snorted. According to my dad, brownstones aren't that lucky.
You found me, didn't you?
He grinned. Drysy cracked her knuckles and fluffed the lapels of the long black duster she currently wore. She'd crammed 2 dozen enchanted daggers into sheaths inside, in addition to sporting a holster for her 9mm and her wand.
I still think we should look away and let Omni do his thing. He's already proven he can annihilate these bastards.
Hannah ruffled the animal's fur. I don't think it really works that way. I thought about that. When he's in his normal forms, he acts like those forms. Maybe a smart version, but I think something about being in battle mode made him closer to being like us. I also kind of already tried that experiment. Allison blinked.
What?
This morning, I left him alone after telling him to turn into angry Omni. She shrugged. When I came back, he was a cockatiel.
Mason snickered.
My brother has a cockatiel. Many of them are fairly angry.
Allison layered a few shields over herself, alternating between light and shadow magic this time. She opened the door and shook her head.
This might have started because of Omni, but my gut says there's a lot more here than one strange shape-changing pet. If we go in there and talk, maybe we can learn some of that.
And if they attack us first?
Drysy asked, an eyebrow raised.
Then we repay their courtesy.
She frowned and stepped outside. I'm not here to get punched in the nose. I'm here to make sure no one wakes Tahir and Hannah in the middle of the night. A loud grinding noise echoed among the nearby buildings. The loading bay door about 30 yards away started opening.
Oh, that's convenient, she shrugged.
I did want to at least blow the door in,
the witch muttered with a shrug.
What's the bloody point of even bringing so many explosive daggers if I don't get to use them?
Allison extended a shadow blade and shook her head.
These guys' little trick with disrupting communications and tracking might mean we don't have to worry about AET showing up to spoil the fun. You might still have any number of chances to blow things up.
Hannah stepped out of the SUV and strapped her sword belt on. She foxed out immediately and grinned. Oh, last time I bet they felt good about kicking my ass. I can't wait to show them how tough a fully equipped hot fox is.
Remember, we need information first if possible. Her boss reminded her.
She marched toward the almost open loading bay door.
Because whoever these guys are, I doubt this one building is their entire organization. I don't want to spend the next year dealing with them in groups of a half dozen like we had to do with the Seventh Order.
Omni hopped out of the SUV and padded after Hannah. His tail wagged happily as if they were on a merry walk through the park. He didn't seem to care about the chilly temperatures or the harsh winds that blew off the bay. Maybe he was thinking of all the people he wanted to kill.
Hannah was fighting those men, and he probably got away early on, but he didn't transform.
He didn't bother to until it looked like she was in trouble, and I doubt he'll do it again. Maybe it was a mistake to bring him, but the only way to knock the truth loose is to dangle the bait.
The four magicals and their dog marched toward the open warehouse like they were auditioning for their own hyper-violent version of the Wizard of Oz. As the brownstone team closed to within 10 yards, the almost identical brown-haired men in dark suits boiled out of the back rooms to fill the main bay. None of them held guns, and they all lacked the darkened veins and black eyes Hannah had described.
They aren't immediately itching for a fight, but they do want to make a show of a force. I can work with that.
Allison slowed her pace and stepped into the warehouse. The others entered after her and surveyed the area warily. Dozens of men stood in the warehouse and all watched the new arrivals with neutral expressions, betraying nothing about what they felt. They didn't look happy, sad, afraid, or excited. Their arms hung at their sides, and none crouched or stood in a defensive stance. They stood so rigidly that they could have been mistaken for statues. She pointed to the loading bay door.
You might as well close it. If this ends up getting violent, there's less chance that innocent people will be hurt. Before, you acted like you cared on some small level about not hurting people. So prove it to me, and maybe this doesn't have to end badly.
Here goes the first test.
The loading bay door began to descend loudly. Mason laughed.
Hey, you just cut off our line of retreat.
She narrowed her eyes. Whatever happens in the next few minutes, we won't retreat. We'll come to some sort of agreement, or we'll make it so they're afraid to step in the same time zone as us.
The fox patted her hilt. I can hardly wait.
Omni's tail stopped wagging. He paced behind Hannah and growled quietly. Now that they were inside, Allison could feel more magic from all around her. It seemed to radiate from every single man in the room, but there were no obvious shields or wands. Whoever and whatever these men were, they weren't wizards.
Maybe Agent Latherby was onto something. They might be some weird Oriseran group pretending to be human. That might explain why they all look so similar.
Drysey coughed.
What do we do now?
The team all looked at Allison for direction.
They haven't attacked us immediately, she commented. That's a good sign.
She turned to the assembled army.
I'm Allison Brownstone, CEO of Brownstone Security. Some in this city call me the Dark Princess.
It's a long shot, but this could be some sort of messed up drow princess test. I might as well throw all the bait out at once.
After a moment of consideration, she added,
I am also the drow princess of the Shadow Forged, but I don't represent the drow people. I come here today in defense of my friends and employees and, a pet, Omni.
That sounded far more impressive in my head.
Drysey snickered, but stopped when Hannah glared at her.
Allison raised her shadow blade. The men needed to understand that she was serious. She wasn't there as a supplicant. She was there to make demands.
You have claimed that this is all about Omni being dangerous, she shouted. But you also made it clear you were willing to hurt Hannah to recover him. The only time he's been dangerous is when he killed your men after they attempted to kill her. The whole point of Brownstone Security is to protect innocent people. If you can provide evidence that you actually give a crap about protecting this city, we can discuss Omni.
She gestured to the dog, who now sat on his haunches beside Hannah.
Otherwise, this will end with many dead people, and this time, you're not surprising an unarmed woman walking her dog.
The crowd remained silent.
They watched the team and only occasionally blinked, but barely moved otherwise.
This is one of the creepiest situations I've ever been in, Drysey muttered, and I used to work for a megalomaniac dark wizard.
Mason frowned.
I don't think it's working, eh?
They aren't attacking, are they?
She replied and took a deep breath.
In the parking garage, one of your men talked about taking orders. He refused to tell us who gave the orders, but I want to talk to that person now. I need to understand who you are and why you're doing this. I don't think that's unreasonable. And let me make myself clear. I'm prepared to destroy you today if I think you're a threat to my people.
The thick silence stretched for several interminable seconds before the crowd parted to allow a single figure to walk through. He was yet another nondescript brown-haired man.
His suit wasn't distinct or special, and his tie was the same solid color design as every one of his comrades.
I'm beginning to wonder how they tell each other apart,
Allison murmured. Maybe they smell different,
Hannah sniffed the air.
Or they see in a different spectrum,
Mason suggested. The man strolled forward with no evidence of haste in his pace, nor any hint of concern in his expression. He stopped in front of the crowd of men and tilted his head to stare at Allison.
You are Allison Brownstone, he declared.
I am. Who are you? And don't you dare tell me I don't need to know. I'm through with games. He straightened his head and blinked once.
Whether you need to know remains undetermined, but our estimates suggest this encounter can possibly be resolved without a significant loss of resources by providing you with minimum information to sate your curiosity.
She scoffed. Yeah, I guess you could say that. You seem to know a lot about us, but we don't know anything about you. So let's start with who you are.
I am the weaver for these strands. In a sense, you could say I lead them, even if I myself am led by another. We are the tapestry.